You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. Come to the site. You can check out the latest article I have breaking down that Patriots wide receiver situation that's always in flux, but in particular this year with Julian Edelman suspended and then some injuries that have caused a little shakeup on the depth chart. There, and we'll actually talk about one of those wide receivers in the mix here on today's show. We looked at the running back and tight end deep sleepers. These are people outside on the cusp of that last starting spot in fantasy that are going highly underrated. And looking at them and what you can expect from them this season, and really going deep to our favorite guys that stand out for reason and for some reason being undervalued around, probably because of the name or people not being totally sure of what they're doing. So we'll look at the wide receivers first and close with the quarterbacks later in the show because we don't have as many quarterbacks to talk about. But a lot of intriguing wide receivers. We've talked a little bit about them with the rookie rankings that we did there on Monday's show. So you can catch up there. Follow me on Twitter at Vinny Iyer, Facebook Vinny Iyer, any shows that you may have missed here on Locked On Fantasy Football. You can learn what you need to know as we prep you for your fantasy football draft coming around later this month. You want to be able to dominate everyone that you're in. And this is just guys that you want to put on your cheat sheet to highlight them a little bit more so you know where to target them and what makes a lot of sense for their production this year. Now, Corey Davis is where we'll start with the wide receiver sleepers. Now, Corey Davis is a number one receiver for the Titans. Rishard Matthews, fading a little bit. Delanie Walker did get an extension there. But when you look at Corey Davis, finished the playoffs with a bang there against New England, having a big game, showed that he is a first-round worthy caliber reality pick in fantasy. I think you look at him as a wide receiver three that people have had some doubts about. Is this Tennessee offense going to be very run-heavy again with Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis? Yeah, they're going to be able to run the ball effectively, but they need a big playmaker. We know with Matt LaFleur, we saw what happened last year with the Rams. As Robert Woods had a breakout year. Cooper Kupp played very well as well. So Corey Davis, a little bit of Robert Woods in him, a good complete receiver there. And with Marcus Mariota, I think he'll be the go-to guy. And Corey Davis pretty much is going as a back-end wide receiver three. I think he could be a wide receiver two. I think I put Chris Hogan, mentioned the Patriots receivers there. Well, when you look at it beyond Julian Edelman right now, Eric Decker, he was just signed. He's next there behind Hogan. You look at after that, it's Philip Dorsett as being maybe the next best option. We know Tom Brady is going to trust the guy that he knows the most, and that's Hogan. And Hogan was off to a great start last year before the shoulder injury kind of limited him, but he was scoring. He was a machine there. And Hogan is a guy I'm definitely targeting as a solid wide receiver three that really is a wide receiver two and borderline one the way he was playing last year. And I think he could definitely be that type of player. Good value there beyond where he was taken. Now, if we dive a little closer, a lot of guys that were taken pretty highly and we're still high on, but we look at the San Francisco situation there with Marquise Goodwin and Pierre Garçon. Garçon is going at 34th spot, 31 overall. Well, you have Marquise Goodwin, 37th in the rankings, 40th. And I don't understand this one quite at all because when you look at this situation, Marquise Goodwin has proved himself as a number one. He was that without Pierre Garçon. Garçon is more a complimentary possession guy. Think of Goodwin as DeSean Jackson from a couple years ago when Garçon was with the Redskins, but as being a little bit more complete receiver at this stage of his career. He was kind of written off as just being a track star there, but moving on from Buffalo to San Francisco, you've really seen the effects. And I really like Goodwin as a potential wide receiver too. He's being taken way late beyond the wide receiver three into the wide receiver four there for the 49ers. Now, another guy that we're going to keep valuing as we kind of look at the rankings there, 43rd there in Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus Rankings is Nelson Agholor of the Eagles. And you look at Agholor, Alshon Jeffery is ailing a little bit. He's got the injury. Agholor was a big-time producer, scored in the red zone, worked the slot very well for this team. And overall, they're still looking for that number two target. Really number three option behind Jeffrey and tight end Zach Ertz. But Agholor is a guy that is going to be busy, can move around the formation, prove that he's pretty solid all around here, can produce. So Agholor, no matter who the quarterback is, you've got to like him in this situation to really be productive. Now Sterling Shepard is another guy similar. A lot of slot work for the Giants, can do some touchdown scoring, but a lot of three receiver sets probably coming for the Giants, at least with Shepard in two receiver sets. He's going to see a little bit more outside work here. So Odell Beckham Jr., we know the attention he draws. We know how Shepard has produced on the other side, but a little bit undervalued, maybe not getting as much attention there, maybe because of the Saquon Barkley addition, maybe people looking at Evan Ingram. But Sterling Shepard is going to be a big part of that Giants offense and will do a little bit more things with his versatility this year, and that's why I really think he can have a bigger impact than a lot of people think here. Now, another receiver I kind of really like is Tyler Lockett of the Seahawks. They only have Jerron Brown, the former Cardinal, as the other option, but Doug Baldwin is really ailing. Tyler Lockett is now their healthiest wide receiver. Paul Richardson is gone. Jimmy Graham is gone. They need somebody to step up, make some big plays, also take some short balls, quick passes, and take them into the end zone from Russell Wilson. So there's great upside for Lockett. He's been on the sleeper list in the past as a wide receiver we're looking at, but he definitely feels that way this year in particular, that he's going to be productive because they really don't have too much more there. Cameron Meredith is a guy that should be on the radar more now that he's checked out with his knee injury with New Orleans. They've released Brandon Coleman there, the Saints did. So when you look at that, that's an indication that Meredith is quite healthy. It's really now Michael Thomas, Meredith, and Ted Ginn Jr. So I think Meredith, he was off to a very good start with the Bears last year in the preseason before he got hurt. He looked like he could do some things with Mitchell Trubisky there, but everything went south when he got hurt and couldn't play. And then the Saints took a chance on him. He is in a high-powered offense. The question is how much they're going to throw. They were a run-heavy team, and Drew Brees' numbers were affected in relation. But I think this time Ginn Jr.'s numbers go down. And you have also Benjamin Watson in there for underneath help. But Meredith, I think, is a solid outside receiver wherever he lines up there with Michael Thomas in the mix. So Meredith, we're going to watch him more, see what his role is here in the preseason, but there are good things developing for Meredith with his landing spot in free agency, and the great news is that he's healthy. Now, which Williams do you go with the Chargers? And it's funny because they're ranked back-to-back, 56th and 57th. Mike Williams going much higher than Tyrell. This is a tough call for me. I think in a standard league, I think you'd have to go with Mike Williams. Tyrell Williams could be a little bit busier, but I think overall Mike Williams is the better possession guy and a better scoring guy. Williams is the big play threat, Tyrell that is. So that's why Mike Williams is developing more and more as a sleeper here. He's going to have a chance to put up touchdowns in this Chargers offense. He's now working as the number three receiver, but that's okay because this team is going to use a lot of three receiver sets with no Hunter Henry in there and for now no Antonio Gates. So when you look at that situation for the Chargers, they're going to need both Williamses. And when you look at the scoring potential, the catch potential that's on Williams' Mike side, Tyrell maybe have the big play and average yards per catch, but Williams Mike is going to be the better producer there, and he is a definite sleeper you want to have on your radar. Now, we're talking a lot about sleepers and ways to get ahead of the competition and really enjoy football this season. Well, there's another way to do that, and it's with Vivid Seats. And you know that we're in preseason week one here, full swing. The games are here. So well past the Hall of Fame game. We're getting close to the regular season games. Well, don't sit around watching your team from home when you can be at the stadium, in the crowd, cheering in person, thanks to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is also offering a special deal for Locked On Fantasy Football listeners. You can get 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. That's all caps, one word, Locked On, LOCKEDON. New customers only can take advantage of this offer, and the offer is good through the end of the month here in August. So that can get you set up for the regular season. If you want to get a deal and check it out in the preseason, go ahead and do that. But Vivid Seats has got you covered. And it's going to be September 6th when all the teams start to play here that weekend. And you want to be there for all the excitement. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code Locked On for 10% off your first order. The offseason over, the NFL's back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get back in the game. Now let's continue our look at the deep sleeper wide receivers. We're around the wide receiver 4-5 range we're talking about. And a guy that's getting a little bit of buzz in camp is Paul Richardson. You mentioned Tyler Lockett maybe having a bigger role because Richardson left Seattle. But now Richardson goes to Washington. People look to Jameson Crowder, who's ranked way higher, Josh Doctson as well. But Richardson can do a lot of little things. I think he was a bit underrated in the Seahawks offense. He didn't put up those big numbers in the end, but he was usable at times because he can score well here. I think he's the type of target that in his West Coast kind of style of receiver that he fits what Jay Gruden wants and Alex Smith can work well with here. So Paul Richardson slowly climbing up here. You look at Crowder, he could be the underneath slot guy and busy, but Richardson can do a little bit of both that Doctson and Crowder can do. And I think, watch out, there's just going to be things in flux in Washington with a new quarterback completely there, so, and a new receiver in there in Richardson. So we don't know exactly how things are going to play out, but I'm just feeling a Smith-Richardson connection developing there. Now, which Falcons receiver should you target after Julio Jones? That's a great question here. You got Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley. I have to side a little bit more with Ridley. Sanu is in the slot quite a bit, but Ridley maybe is the guy that's going to pick up the slack and those touchdowns that Julio Jones doesn't always get in the red zone. First-round pick going to be involved in this offense as they use a lot of three-receiver sets. They'll mix in the two tight end as well, but I just like Ridley in the upside over Sanu. Sanu is a solid player, and they can use him in different ways, but we know that his ceiling is pretty limited there, so Ridley has a higher one, and I think the scoring potential definitely helps there for sure. Now, people are asking another question about two guys on the same team and sticking in the NFC South. That's Chris Godwin versus DeSean Jackson. Well, the recent report was Godwin is pretty much locked in as the starter with Mike Evans for the most part. So DeSean Jackson is more fighting with Adam Humphries for those inside three-receiver set slot snaps for the Buccaneers. So they really love what Godwin can do. I loved him last year. He produced right away. DeSean Jackson getting a little older. Godwin young, a little bit more complete of a receiver at this stage. Humphries is just a guy. He was good, reliable, and could be a security blanket there for Jameis Winston. But Godwin can be a game changer there. Opposite Evans, taking advantage of some favorable coverage. So I think Godwin is way low. He's going 71st. An average draft position rank in the 60s. Godwin, the guy I'm definitely looking at to be a big-time producer on a team in Tampa that's going to trail quite a bit. I've circled and talked about this guy a little bit when we've mentioned the Cowboys and their wide receiver situation, but Michael Gallup, people are on Allen Hurns a little bit, thinking Cole Beasley might do a little bit more, but Gallup legitimately looks like the Cowboys' number one receiver, the rookie there, that's tabbed to replace Dez Bryant for the most part in that specific role. And we know there are some big plays and touchdowns to be had from that role. So Gallup is the receiver I'm targeting. Hearns is drafted or ranked much higher for now. Even Dez Bryant without a team is ranked much higher. But for me, it's Gallup is the easy choice there for fantasy, and don't look back. Now, another guy that we look at is John Ross of the Bengals. Some news from the Bengals camp is that Brandon LaFell was released. So that pretty much means Ross, after that bad rookie year with a knee injury recovery and didn't play, didn't even catch a pass, he's now locked in as a number two receiver. And they've got some other guys there, Tyler Boyd, Josh Malone, Cody Core, some other young receivers. But Ross, first-round pick, they want to get him on the field and have him make an impact for this team. So there's no doubt in my mind that Ross is going to be more involved in terms of trying to get those big plays for the Bengals, because they're kind of short on them right now. They're trying to find some solid answers with A.J. Green. Green drawing attention with Ross, kind of like Godwin was from last year. That's going to help single coverage and make some big plays for him. Now, Danny Amendola, you got to look at as well for the Dolphins. He's ranked 73rd. So another guy that I really like here as a wide receiver 3, potentially, if you draft him as a wide receiver 4 or 5. When you look at Amendola, the question is going to be the injury and health, and I think you have to be ready if he gets hurt. Then you go with Albert Wilson. But Devontae Parker, reports are he's really struggling in camp. So you need Ryan Tannehill, who's really not had an established thing with Parker, or as Mike Gesicki, the rookie tight end, gets going there. He needs that underneath guy. Where does he go? He's going to go to the most familiar spot on the field. It's Danny Amendola, replacing Jarvis Landry there. So Amendola and Tannehill, since the get-go, have seemed to have pretty good chemistry here. Amendola plays in this division. He'll be a little bit amped up in those Patriots games, especially to have a little bit of revenge, but he could be a very busy target, especially in PPR. Danny Amendola is undervalued for being on the Dolphins this season, as the Landry slot role is wide open. We go to Baltimore, and people are on Michael Crabtree there, but I'm going to think a little bit more about John Brown. And John Brown is this good field stretcher, but can also do some dirty work and be involved. He fits the profile of guys like Anquan Boldin and Steve Smith, who've tried to come through there and been productive for the Ravens and with Joe Flacco, and we've seen that. So Brown is the guy I'm waiting. I'm not necessarily forcing my hand here on Michael Crabtree early. I think he could be a solid pick, but if I want a stash and I want a piece of this Ravens offense, it's not the greatest offense in the world, but the weapons have been rebooted a little bit. Brown is where I'm going for sure. Now, the big concern there in Indianapolis is who's going to be that kind of next guy to T.Y. Hilton. You've had Chester Rogers do some things. Now Ryan Grant is really playing really well, coming over from Washington. He was signed by another team, but I think he found the right fit in Indianapolis. They also have Deion Kane that you can look at. So the Colts, there just seems to be a source of something there behind Hilton that can be productive. This is a team that's going to trail out. So that's kind of how we like Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron there, the two receiving tight ends. But I think something's going to happen here where the Indianapolis number two is going to be quite busy. It could be Kane in time, but for now I think Grant is the way to go over Rodgers, who slow from an injury, so you got to go there for Indianapolis. It's not the greatest situation to look at overall, but it's Andrew Luck. If he's back healthy, you got to look at him there as being productive. Now, Bryce Butler is one guy we'll talk about. This Arizona pecking order, you want to know where a guy falls. He's pretty much going to be 3, the way it looks like, behind Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson coming out of the backfield doing his thing. But you have Christian Kirk taking some time to put things together. You have some concerns about Chad Williams, a pickup from last year. Are they going to settle in? But Bryce Butler tapped into some big playability there for the Cowboys. Didn't get a lot of chances to play there. So Butler, I'm definitely looking at as someone, not great numbers necessarily, but I think you can plug him and play in the right matchup with the chance to stretch the field. Bryce Butler can definitely do that. So a guy I'm definitely looking at. And finally, you have to look at the other part of the Patriots equation here. Who's going to be that next receiver? And Julian Edelman, four games out, there's production to be had there for sure with Chris Hogan being the number one. But who's going to fill in those first four games? Eric Decker's looking like the guy. Jordan Matthews was injured and then put on injured reserve, while Philip Dorsett, more of a deep threat, still trying to work in him in a little bit more, but Decker figures to be a guy. And we've seen when he gets a chance and he has to do his job and plug in there, whether it's been with his recent stints, the Jets or Titans, or previously the Broncos, he's going to get the job done and have some touchdown potential. So that's where you have to look at Decker, and that's kind of rounds out what I'm looking at the deep sleeper wide receivers you have to think about. And for now, their draft rankings will be a little lower, but I think you can expect to see a little bit of a spike here going forward for some of these guys. So sometimes it's all about timing, and hopefully people are not on players, but hopefully they're not all listening to this podcast, so you can get that edge over them. So keep that in mind. Always be looking for that next guy on the lesser level that can have a big impact, because you'll get him at absolutely nothing with a great value, and that's what we're trying to help you do here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Now, Locked On Fantasy Football is proud to be part of the Locked On NFL Network, where we've got your home team covered in the biggest way every day, every week, off-season, in-season. We've got an expansive group of hosts that are out there at training camps, breaking down things, talking to players, coaches, getting you ready for the 2018 season. So check out all those great shows here on the Locked On Network. We've got NFL in full swing. We've got NBA coming up soon, MLB in the midst of big season, college football as well. So we're going to expand there. Your beat reports in the best possible way, Locked On Network and the Locked On NFL team. Now let's look at the quarterbacks now to close the show in terms of sleepers that we're looking at in the later rounds. And really, you have to start with the QB2s here everywhere you look, because QB1s, pretty much you know who they are. You're just trying to figure out how to rank them all. But QB2s, you have to dig a little deeper. And I think the first guy I'll mention is Marcus Mariota. He's ranked 17th, and so he's off into the middle of the QB2s, but he's got Matt LaFleur. We know that worked out very well, turning Jared Goff into a QB1 last year, this particular offense. Granted, the Titans don't have the same weapons, but they have more diverse weapons there overall, where you think with a tight end and a wide receiver and a good pass-catching back there, and Neon Lewis, then Mariota is going to have good value. And his running, they're going to make sure they incorporate his running and let it be a part of his game as well. So I expect Mariota and LaFleur to click here. And Mariota is still being rather undervalued. When you look at it, 17th ranked, 19 ADP for Mariota. And that just shouldn't be happening with a player of that level. The next guy I look at is Dak Prescott. You look at Dak and what he can do. It's a little bit of a shuffle here with the receiving core. No more Des Bryant, no more Jason Witten, but you got Michael Gallup, you got Allen Hurns, Cole Beasley still sticking around there, Blake Jarwin, we mentioned him as a tight end deep sleeper. So, and Prescott can also get it done with the leg. So I think you might see more of the rookie season Prescott, where he's more a useful QB1, borderline QB2, in a good platoon situation than we've had before. Another quarterback that you can't totally forget about is Eli Manning this year. I mean, when you put it together with Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram and Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard, there's got to be somebody at the controls producing if all those guys are going to produce. So Eli Manning, he hasn't had a good reality run here, but in fantasy, it's all we're looking for. Can he produce with these guys? Are the Giants going to trail in some games? Are they still going to throw enough, but they'll throw a little bit more effectively with Barkley setting things up in the running game and also helping out the receiver? I think the answer is yes, and you go from there. And final sleeper that I'm going to circle, that I'm going after in pretty much every draft I can, is Tyrod Taylor. And you can see it by his ADP at 21. he's shooting up from his ranking at 27. So, again, when you add up the weapons, and this is probably a little bit contingent on Josh Gordon, he probably has a better value if Josh Gordon was confirmed and everything is fine with him, that he's 100% going to be there at the beginning of the season. But you look at it, it's Gordon, you have Jarvis Landry, you have David Njoku, you have Duke Johnson, you have a whole bunch of guys who can catch passes and make things happen before and after the catch and also finish in the red zone. So Tyrod Taylor and the Browns in this particular offense, Taylor, remember, was a borderline QB1 there with Buffalo with just his legs, but I think he's going to do a lot with his arm, still incorporate the running a little bit. So when you put all that together, if you're going to rank Cam Newton and Deshaun Watson up there, way up there among the QB1s, then you have to at least consider Tyrod Taylor as a higher-end QB2 and not more as a QB3 in your fantasy football drafts. So there you have it. There's a look at the biggest veteran wide receiver and quarterback sleepers in the 2018 fantasy football pool based on their average draft position where they're ranked. These guys should be going ahead of that because they'll produce ahead of that, and you'll be happy about that, having stashed them on your team for a lesser pick. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, thanks so much for listening. This has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time with more pre-draft analysis.